the radio, kids. It's time for Strictly Confidential. It's the homosexual agenda on steroids, putting the dominionists and the loyal Bushies and the rest of America's underbelly on notice that the GLBT community is simply not going to take it anymore. So, just like gay kryptonite, here's Peter Godbold.
Good evening, America, and good morning, world. Welcome to Book, Chapter, and Verse 124 of Strictly Confidential. I am Peter Godbold, and welcome to the LGBT version of Conversation Radio exclusively right here on the listener-supported Head On Radio Network. Also brought to you in part by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch is located at crmw.net. That's crmw.net. Please have a look and see what mountaintop removal is doing to West Virginia. Today is Wednesday, March the 12th, 2008. So if you're listening shortly after 9 p.m. on a Wednesday, Eastern Time, March the 12th, you're indeed listening to a live show, and you are more than welcome to call into the show and participate with myself and with the guest, whom I'll be introducing shortly. I'll be giving out those numbers soon. The show site is strictlyconfidentialradio.com, and there you're going to find links to all of the guests as well as to the audio archives from past shows. You'll find our chat room, which is active as I speak, and it's a good evening to stop by the chat room. There are lots of folks there. You'll find links at strictlyconfidentialradio.com, also to the main Head On Radio Network site. You can find out about all the other progressive programming on the Head On Radio Network right there, of which I'm only a very small part. There are links on strictlyconfidentialradio.com for the Strictly Confidential MySpace page and links to help you locate the music that you hear on the show. You can participate via chat or via email. Email arrives to Peter at headonradionetwork.com. That's Peter at headonradionetwork.com. And I do try to check the mail during the breaks. Or you can call toll-free, 877, the number 4, head-on. That's 877-4-HEAD-ON or 877-443-2366 if you prefer digits. If you have unlimited long distance, you can use that and save the studio a nickel or a buck. That's area code 304-658-3333. That is 304-658-3333, and that rings in West Virginia. But we are certainly pleased to pick up the freight if you'd like to use the toll-free line. Again, that is 877-443-2366. Oh, my goodness, the joys of live radio. So many things go on behind the scenes that you folks just don't know about. Bob and I were having a last-minute panic there just seconds before the Strictly Confidential theme was about to run. The Internet was all gone, went down, no way. Everything went out. So with an emergency reset of the DSL router and an emergency reboot and an emergency reconnect and a very, very quick reestablishing of all the little programs and desktop icons that I need to do the show. So it resulted in what I believe to be live radio. And that's our story, and I'm sticking to it. Yes, we are indeed live, and it looks like the signal is remaining connected, and I'm very pleased to have that. I've been struggling this afternoon over how to introduce our guest. Our guest is Mr. Scott Hall. Scott will be joining us in a moment. Scott Hall will be joining us from South Florida. I believe he's in the Cocoa Beach area, Fort Lauderdale area. Scott Hall is one of the straight allies of the LGBT community, one of the allies that we need so badly. As you all know, we are soundly dismissed by the powers that be as being perverted or irrelevant or sinful or all of the above. So what we say has not much credence or weight many times, even though we do have members in Congress and political representatives everywhere from mayors to dog catchers all over the country. Nonetheless, it is with our straight allies that that we depend on, because many times they will listen to them when they will not listen to us. You know, I was listening to Bob's show there at the end, and Bob did a remarkable show this evening. At the end of his show, he was talking about the use of the word "this offender" as a way to remove the humanity from an individual. He talked about the use of the word "illegal alien," the words "illegal alien," to give the impression that there's no right to exist on the planet. It's a way of doing comparison, Bob pointed out, so that the great vast right wing can look and say, see how bad they are, we are good. This same thing happens to us. What we're going to be talking about this evening, of course, is a difficult subject for me, as many of you regular listeners know. It is always a painful thing for me to tell some of the stories we have to tell about the murders and the serious beatings, the broken arms, the gashed faces that happens to LGBT adults and children all over this country. We have many examples of that in very recently. I decided to actually introduce Scott by reading just two or three paragraphs from a mother. This mother happens to be in Vermont. This mother could actually be from any state. This particular mother is writing to the Valley News, a local newspaper in her area in Vermont. She writes, "I am the mother of a gay son, and I've taken enough from you good people. I'm tired of your hateful rhetoric about the homosexual agenda. I'm tired of your allegations that accepting homosexuality is the same thing as advocating sex with children. You are ignorant and you are cruel, and you have been robbing me of the joys of motherhood ever since my child was tiny. My firstborn son started suffering at the hands of the moral little thugs from your moral upright families from the time he was in the first grade. He was physically and verbally abused all the way through high school because he was perceived to be gay. He had the misfortune not to walk or to have the gestures like other boys. He was called a fag every day of his life, starting from when he was only 6 years old." She writes, "In high school, while your children were doing what kids that age should be doing, mine labored over a suicide note, drafting and redrafting it to be sure that his family knew that he loved them very much." And she writes, "My sobbing 17-year-old tore the heart out of me as he choked out that he just couldn't bear to live any longer, that he didn't want to be gay, and that he couldn't face a life without dignity." There's that word dignity again. The word was mentioned to me yesterday and again today, and now I'm finding it again in this article. I mentioned it on the show last night. We are all born with dignity. It's something that our Creator gives us, or it's something that we all assumed to have, at least in this country anyway. I read you the Webster's Dictionary meaning of the word dignity last evening, and it simply is the quality or state of being worthy, and it is in fact that worthiness, that humanity, that attempted to being taken from us every day of our lives. As Bob pointed out, it does not only apply to the LGBT community. It applies to the prisoners called this offender, the illegal alien. It applies to so many groups that are stripped of their dignity. One thing that is different about the LGBT community, though, is that in many ways we have less protections by the law than your household pet. Dignity. You know, a wife who loses a husband is called a widow. A husband who loses a wife is called a widower. A child who loses his parents is called an orphan. There is no word for a parent who loses a child. That's how awful this loss is. We'll begin bringing Scott on right after we run an audio clip from the Ellen show, Ellen DeGeneres. In fact, it was Scott who told me about the existence of this clip last week, and I have pulled it up to run on the show. It's remarkable, Scott, and thank you for pointing it out to us. Bob, please run the Ellen clip.
But for a minute, I need to talk to you about something that's really serious and really sad. And if you know me, it's hard to talk about sad stuff without getting emotional, but this is really important to talk about. On February 12th, an openly gay 15-year-old boy named Larry, who is an eighth grader in Oxnard, California, was murdered by a fellow eighth grader named Brandon. Larry was killed because he was gay. Days before he was murdered, Larry asked his killer to be his Valentine. I don't want to be political. This is not political. I'm not a political person, but this is personal to me. A boy has been killed, and a number of lives have been ruined. And somewhere along the line, the killer, Brandon, got the message that it's so threatening and so awful and so horrific that Larry would want to be his Valentine, that killing Larry seemed to be the right thing to do. And when the message out there is so horrible that to be gay, you can get killed for it, we need to change the message. Larry was not a second-class citizen. I am not a second-class citizen. It is okay if you're gay. I don't care what people say. I don't care what people think. And I know there are entire groups of people who face discrimination every single day, and we're a long way from treating each other equally. All of it is unacceptable. All of it. But I would like you to start paying attention to how often being gay is a punchline of a monologue, or how often gay jokes are in a movie. And that kind of message, laughing at someone because they're gay, is just the beginning. It starts with laughing at someone, then it's verbal abuse, then it's physical abuse, and then it's this kid, Brandon, killing a kid like Larry. We must change our country, and we can do it. We can do it with our behavior. We can do it with our messages that we send our children. We can do it with our vote. This is an election year, and there's a lot of talk about change. I think one thing we should change is hate. Check on who you're voting for, and does that person really, truly believe that we are all equal under the law? And if you're not sure, change your vote. We deserve better. My heart goes out to everybody involved in this horrible, horrible incident, all the families in this poor, even, you know, Brandon's life has changed because he did this. So we're going to put more information on this on our website, and we're going to have a wonderful, fabulous, funny show after this. We'll be right back.
And thank you to Ellen for doing that. It was a powerful presentation on her show. She was moved to tears, as we often are in this show when we do stories like this. Scott Hall, welcome to Strictly Confidential. I couldn't be happier to have you here.
Awesome. Thank you. It's a great pleasure to be here, and I'd like to thank Bob, who hooked me up and got me all online with you and on the phone. So thank you, too, Bob.
Well, wonderful. Can you hear me okay, Scott? Let's clear that up.
Yeah, I'm wondering if you can hear me. I had another call coming in, and it was breaking up a little bit, but I think it sounds okay to me if you hear me okay.
Oh, yes, I can hear you perfectly, absolutely perfectly. Okay. That's good. But Bob has plenty of knobs and controls and sliders there at the studio, so if that should change, just holler, and we'll make an adjustment. Scott, let's get a little political issue out of the way first, and that is the use of Gay American Heroes, which is the site, it's actually Gay American Heroes Foundation, and located at gayamericanheroes.com. And I found an eloquent, it's probably the best stated description of why you use just the word gay as opposed to saying LGBT or Q that I have ever read. And it's about the straight world not understanding the difference that we're all gay to them. Can you tell us about that and what the decision was like to use the word gay?
Well, absolutely, and you're absolutely right, and thank you so much. We went over with our board what the different, after I came up with the name Gay American Heroes, and we started getting feedback, and some of the lesbian community felt they were left out, and some of the transgender community felt they were left out, and we had to, you know, answer that for them. And unfortunately, we're not trying to preach to the people who are being murdered, because they know it's going on. They're a part of it. It's a part of their everyday life when they go out into the general population. And so we want to reach out to the folks that don't really understand what LGBT means. And the best way to do that is speak their language. So when we're out in the general population, gay is the best way for people. As soon as you say you're gay, you know, everyone there's no question. They don't distinguish lesbian, transsexual questioning. They just know that you like people of the same sex sexually. And it's just a clean, simple, easy way. And so, it was just the easiest way for us to get to the general population. So we went with the word gay. And, it's also the Gay and Lesbian National Task Force. So, you know, it's used still to this day. It isn't taking away from any other group. We're just grouped in as, you know, as what's the, I can't remember, not Larry the Cable Guy, but he constantly uses the name redneck to group a people in, or, you know, surfers, you know that type of person. So you group people in categories to make it easy to, you know, distinguish between who you were talking about and who you're not. So gay was it for us.
Well, Scott, that's well said, and certainly they do paint with a very broad brush, and I happen to agree with you simplifying that. Indeed, we're all gay as far as they are concerned. Scott, you are the founder and the executive director of Gay American Heroes, which is, by the way, located at gayamericanheroes.com. Scott, is it .com or .net?
.com. We own .com, .net, .org. And we constantly update our site, and we use both. So whatever one's currently up, be it the .net or .org or .com, we're always making additions. So you're redirected. So any of them should work just fine for you. But .com is the official one.
Wonderful. We are posting the link in the chat room, but I wanted to be sure that listeners who are not in the chat room would be able to get there too. And I had a .net and .com. So anyway, that's gayamericanheroes.com. It'll take you right there. Scott, how does a straight man come to found an organization like this? It's an astounding thing. Many people sympathize with the LGBT community, and many people are concerned, but it takes a very special individual to do something like this. And how did this come about, Scott?
Well, if we have time, we can go into this, and I hope that we do, and you understand it. I'm going to try to explain it. The easiest way to start with would be my best friend, Jack Nichols, led the gay movement. And he was my mentor, he was my best friend, and he was also my roommate for a long time. And over 25 years, we were together as friends. And so I was taught at an early age through my mother, who was English, and Jack, that we need to respect everyone for who they are, and not what we want them to be or we expect them to be, but accept them. And with that said, Jack shared this with me, and I take it to heart, and this is how I preface who I am by saying, if you don't understand me, that's okay. I'm from the future, and one day you will. And he was brilliant. He's an author of many books, and I encourage you to read them. Anywhere from, you know, The Gay Agenda to Men's Liberation. And so he is the one who, and when I do that, I don't, there's a term called homosexual, and homosexual is a postmodern term. It's oxymoronic, and you can look it up on the internet. And I don't identify myself with any sexuality. I don't limit myself to any sexuality. So I think that in the future, after prefacing what I said, I think that we'll come to a time when there's going to be two types of people, the ones that are having sex and the ones that are not. It really doesn't matter who, what, where, when, if you're not in it.
This comes as such a refreshing breath of fresh air. I haven't heard these things before. You're the first person that's presented it just that way. It's very unique.
Well, thank you. And so Oprah had a show on where she had Sidney Poitier, and he starred in a movie, and I don't really remember the movie. Just so you know, I'm dyslexic and I'm ADD, so bear with me if I get things backwards a little bit from time to time. But Oprah had a show where she had Sidney Poitier on, and it was right after the Academy Awards. She has that special show, and he portrayed, and in the movie that he was portraying in, he said his dad, Sidney Poitier's dad, said, "You're a black man, and you'll always be a black man." And he says, "No, Dad, I'm a man, and that's what I am." So to limit ourselves by our religion, our sexuality, or our skin color is the limitation you put on yourself. I don't have those limitations on myself, and I encourage everyone else not to. I don't limit people by their skin color, their sexual orientation, or their religion. I don't judge them on that level. I judge them how they treat me, if they're respectful, if they're honorable, and do unto others as you would like them to do unto you.
Well said. Scott, in my reading about you today, it looks as if you had a nasty encounter with a baseball bat. Maybe you could tell us about that, and it was in Melbourne, of all places. How did that all happen?
Absolutely. The incident happened when I was about 18 years old, and I was in front of the only gay bar in Melbourne, Florida, and I was sitting there with a good friend of mine, and we were sitting on the hood of his car, and a guy came up and asked for a light of a cigarette. Mind you, there's a little patch of woods next to another bar, and on the other side of the gay bar was a stripper bar, a straight stripper bar. So, you know, it always had its little incidences, but, you know, it was a slow night. It was like a Wednesday night or something. And so we're sitting out there, and he's smoking a cigarette, and comes a guy asks for a light off the cigarette. Now, he doesn't know my sexuality. He doesn't know anything about me. So my friend gives him a light off the cigarette, and as I look to the left of me, he's sitting to my right on the hood of the car, all of a sudden I see a guy with a baseball bat going into full swing. And, of course, it connects with the side of my head, and my head swells up like something you'd see in the cartoons. I couldn't believe how fast I felt like I had a grapefruit on the side of my head. And as I'm being knocked to the ground, my friend is looking over towards me, and there's another gentleman, I use a U-term loosely, on the other side, and kawam, he hits my friend in the back of the head with a baseball bat and knocks him to the ground. So I get up, and I run into the one guy off the cigarette, and I kind of hit into him, and to blaze my way back into the bar. And then, of course, my friend was getting up as well to get away, and they're swinging their bats, of course. And I think I got hit again, but I don't really remember. And then I got into the bar, and it all happened in a split second. I mean, it was just that fast. And it was just no other reason other than we're in front of a gay bar. It was a true, total gay bashing. It seems to be the choice of gay bashers, a baseball bat.
That's a disturbing story. I have to admit, when I first read it, I had assumed Melbourne, Australia, and which is silly of me. Having grown up in Florida, I should have known this. There is, of course, Melbourne, Florida. I'm aware of it. I just didn't put it together. One of our hosts is from Melbourne, or from Sydney, I believe, down in Australia. So I thought of Melbourne.
Well, I have relatives in Australia as well, so that's an easy mistake, and a lot of people have made it, so don't feel bad. It's kind of funny. When I say I'm from Melbourne, they're like, oh, really, mate? And I'm like, not down under.
Well, it was an amazingly accurate description of Florida that you gave when you said there was a gay bar and a straight bar and a stripper club all right next to each other. That's sort of the de facto standard in many places around the state.
It is, and that's what I find so interesting. They know we're there. We know they're there. Everyone knows that we're all there, so why can't we all just get along? It's so simple. We make it much more complicated as humans to just appreciate everyone's beauty and quit looking for their flaws. And so hopefully we're going to be able to change hopefully a lot of people's way of thinking and the way they were taught, because hate, you're not born hating. You're taught to hate. And so I hope with where Gay American Heroes is going and what our goals are, is that we're going to help educate and bring a light to the fact that so many people are murdered every year because of their sexual orientation or gender identity, basically for being themselves. And that alone is outrageous, and it is un-American.
Well, Scott, in concern for you and your friend, I should ask, do you have lasting effects from that attack? Are you okay? Were you hospitalized? Was it critical? How'd you get through it?
Thank you for asking. And at the time, it was very traumatic. I was friends with Jack then. We had just actually met, and I talked to him, and he really was there for me. And I think mentally, it's always been in the back of my mind, and I always thought to myself, you know, this could have been anyone. And the fact that, you know, what I always wonder what caused someone to be so mad at me, never meeting me, and so violent towards me, never knowing me. These are total strangers. Who could instill such hate? Could it be their parent? Was it a teacher? Was it their minister? Who could instill such hate in a person? You never know who you're dealing with. He had a family or friends or something he went home to, and I don't see the gratification in beating up someone for them just because I can. I still today don't grasp why someone would do that.
The encounter that I've had other than folks, LGBT, my reading about attacks and hearing it from people, hearing stories about it. The only was a particularly horrific incident in Orlando. I was in Orlando, oh Lord, it's been over 10 years ago. I lived there for about 3 months, and there was a gay club around the block, and often would go there, and there was a young man who was shot in the parking lot, and I don't know the outcome of that, but the general story behind it is that he was shot because he was walking out of a gay bar. Scott, what was the tipping point? What was the tipping point? What was the incident in your life that brought about Gay American Heroes?
Well, thank you. Of course, there's one person who did it, and after sitting on these feelings and dealing with it on a firsthand basis, mind you, I was attacked at another time, which I could go into detail, but we don't need to at this point, and left on the side of the road dead with a broken face, bleeding, unconscious at several parts of my body. So,
oh Lord, Scott, I had no idea.
Twice, and that also happened in Cocoa, Florida, which is the city north of Melbourne, in the same town and county I was born in. And I thought I knew everybody, and I was fairly safe, but obviously that was not the case. I was watching TV in March of this past year, and I saw a little blurb of about a gay man being murdered in Polk County. And a gay man murdered, and it was just so short of a little blip. I went to the internet, and after hearing it, and I looked it up, and it turns out the young man was Ryan Keith Skipper. He was driving home, and he picked up two guys that were needing a lift, and from what this story goes is that he knew one of them, briefly or on a friend type level or an acquaintance type level, and it turns out that they slit his throat. They stabbed him as he jumped out of the car in the back over 20 times. So I can't even comprehend being stabbed once, which has happened to me, but to be stabbed repeatedly over 20 times with my throat already slit. And then after he was dead, or as he's dying, they smashed his face in beyond recognition. Once again, who can instill such hate? So Ryan was brutally murdered in Polk County on March 14th of this past year. They then drove around in his blood-soaked car, bragging about how they killed the faggot in Polk County. They have arrested both of the men, and they're up for trial and all the legal aspects of that. Once again, that's what inspired me. I said, enough is enough. What can I do? And I knew that over the next week or 2 weeks, because of such a little blurb and the fact they didn't say how brutally murdered he was in the newscast, that his story needed to be told. And I knew that there were several others that I had heard about throughout the years that I thought didn't get the same recognition as Matthew Shepard. And thank God for Matthew Shepard, Judy Shepard, for being such an advocate for this. But everyone thinks that Matthew Shepard was the last one that was murdered, and he hasn't been, and there have been hundreds since him. And so we need to recognize all these heroes, and we need to remember all of them and not let their memory or their murder be in vain. And that's one of the one things that I would like to bring up or talk about later or whenever, is about how so many people use the word "he was killed." You could be killed in a car accident. You could be killed by a coconut dropping out of the tree. But these were typically premeditated or deliberate murder, and I think we need to address it and use the words that are powerful to really strike a chord with people. And that's why I tend to insist that Ryan Skipper wasn't killed. He was murdered. Lawrence King, the one that Ellen talks about he wasn't killed, he was murdered. They shot him in front of 20 students at school, in front of 20 students while he sat at a computer. He was brutally murdered, deliberately, intentionally murdered. And that's hard for some people to say, but that's the truth.
Scott, in the case of
what I believe,
you're presenting it excellently, and in fact, it's very powerful, and it comes from the heart. We can tell that we've gotten pretty good at this particular show about judging when people are speaking from their hearts, and you are indeed speaking from your heart. Regarding Ryan, that's a story that we covered. That only happened in what, mid-2007, was it? Yet if that was the beginning of your organization, you have grown tremendously in less than a year.
I was fortunate with the people that I had met through my friend Jack, and that's why I prefaced everything with my connection with Jack. Jack was the leader of the gay movement. He was a pioneer. And over the years of being with Jack and as a friend and having him in my life and a mentor and just a true friend, he introduced me to so many amazing people like Frank Kameny. And where Ellen says it's okay to be gay, well, it's okay to be gay. Well, Frank Kameny coined that phrase, gay is okay. And that was a button they used to wear back in the 60s saying it's gay is okay. It's not a bad thing. And so I was fortunate to have Frank Kameny come on board, and I called him up and I told him about what I wanted to do. And he said, well, don't we already have one? And I'm like, no, Frank, we don't. He's like, you're kidding. Well, you need to do that. And he was just, you know, very spirited about it and very supportive. And then he introduced me to Jim Sears, who I already known, but said, I need to talk to him, who's a leading historian and author, Dr. Sears. And from there, I went down to the Stonewall Library, where I met Jack Rutland. And from that on, it's been just meeting more people and telling them what I'm trying to do and people getting it and understanding it. And it has grown, but it's through a lot of help from some really good board members like Chip Arn and David Cornell and William Yonarelli and Gypsy Teague and, you know, Carol Benowitz and Bruce Presley. I mean, these are the people who you don't get to see and that aren't in the front, but that are fueling the flame and fueling the fire that keeps us going. So it truly is amazing. And I haven't even talked about all the celebrities who I've had the opportunity to meet and tell the stories to and get involved. So thank you for having me on. But this is, it's very exciting.
Scott, regarding Ryan, and good on you for changing that word from killed to murdered. In your experience and the stories that you've heard and the incidents that you've encountered, would you say that the majority of them are similar to Ryan? In other words, it perhaps even goes past murder into annihilation, into such rage, not just three stab wounds, but 20 in the case of Ryan. Would you say this overkill, this annihilation behavior?
Absolutely, Peter. It's typically a game murder. I don't have the exact numbers, but it's like 10 times violent than typical hate crime murders. So absolutely, gay murders are typically the most violent and the most horrific. So it's like, I don't know if I don't know. I wonder if those people sometimes, I think that I don't know where they get the rage. I'm not a psychologist. I leave that up to those folks. I don't get it. So I'm not at that level of understanding. So, but as to answer your question, most definitely they're horrific, and more times out of not, it's like, I don't get it. I see it. I can feel it. I can see, but that's how I said. I don't know how someone can take someone you never met in your life and smash them in the head with a baseball bat or slit their throat. And one of the things that we come across is they're justifying it. Their excuse for doing it is that he hit on me. I mean, wow. How I said, I think you're cute or I like you, I might want to date you. now I'm going to stab you 20 times. I don't feel that's a fair trade-off. I don't get it. And how could you? It's an insecurity of their masculinity, and it's a macho machismo mentality that you have to be tough. And how dare you think of me being gay, and in you doing so, insinuating by complimenting me or hitting on me, insinuating that I am. So now I'm going to cut your throat and stab you 20 times. I don't understand the logic or the rationale.
It's hard for us to understand, for me personally, and I know the listeners, it's hard for them to understand too. Scott, what age group were these men? Were they middle aged? Were they what is the age group that typically does this?
Sadly, it's unfortunately it does span all levels. There's Ronnie Paris, who is was 3 years old, and his dad didn't want him to grow up to be a sissy, so he beat him to death. So, which is just once again mind boggling. Literally, it boggles the mind. But as far as a whole, I think that the majority of them are younger. For example, Ryan was 25. Sean Kennedy, who we haven't talked about, was 19, which he has a wonderful story as far as some good that came from his horrific murder. We have Lawrence King, who was 15. But, you know, it really does. We have, unfortunately, Alex Bello. He was 67 years old, and he was stabbed to death in January of this year. We have 8 gay murders this year, and they range from 67 down to Lawrence King, who was 15. So it really does range, but I guess if you had to group it as a whole, it's from the 20s to 30s.
Well, Scott, I'm wondering then regarding the attackers, the one that actually murdered these people, is there an age range or for those people, is there?
Absolutely, there's an epidemic right now in our country where teenagers are beating up the homeless. You're targeting a group of people. So as far as I'm concerned, that's a bias or a part of a hate crime. As far as I'm concerned, because you're targeting homeless people who, once again, are typically defenseless. And and as well, yes, it's the age group from 18 to 27 typically are the murderers or the perpetrators that are doing these crimes. So we are only been in existence since March of this past year. We want to be a national resource as far as information, and that's why we brought the Stonewall Library, or they agreed with us to be a part of our group, in the sense that they're going to keep as a repository all the information we're gathering, and we're going to do charts, and we're going to keep information, because there's not a national database that exists that anyone registers. And remember, 10 years or so ago, they didn't even had hate crimes, but yet there were gay murders back then. So we want to find all those folks and create a national database and start tracking, because we want to find out who's teaching the hate and start addressing, not be a reaction, but a, you know, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Well, the same thing. We want to start trying to prevent them and be more proactive and going out to where they're teaching the hate and trying to figure that out and shining a light on those organizations and those groups that are teaching it, because to me, they're the domestic terrorists. When you target another group of people that are law-abiding Americans and you target them and you single them out and you treat them as second-class citizens, then you, to me, are terrorizing one of your own, because they're American, you're American, and they have the same rights or deserve to have the same rights as you do, even though currently in our society and in America, that's not true of gay folks, and that is a crime in itself, if you ask me.
Well, Scott, I think that is a wonderful idea for the national database. Now, we had a guest on, it's been many months ago, I think it was probably July or August. His name is Ethan St. Pierre, and he's with a radio program actually called Trans FM. He pointed us to a site called RememberingOurDead.org. That's RememberingOurDead.org. Now, they document on that site transgendered people who have been murdered, and which is only a small portion of what's happening nationally now. And certainly, some sort of consolidation would be tremendously helpful to get a handle on this, because certainly in some states, gay hate crimes or LGBT hate crimes are it's not considered a hate crime, so they're not documented at all in some states. And Scott, tell us what you're going to do when this database is assembled. And there's a project that you have that reminds me of the AIDS quilt, and it's remarkable in its scope.
Absolutely, and you're correct. And by the way, transgenders are typically the most brutally and the most commonly murdered amongst the gay folks. Believe it or not, transgenders are definitely targeted more so than any other group. And I can go into an explanation why, you know, I believe, but that's irrelevant. As far as what's so interesting that you bring up that we resemble, it's actually a cross between, I've been told, a cross between the quilt and the Vietnam Memorial. And what we're doing is we're raising money to build a national memorial that will travel, and it's going to go to universities, it's going to gay pride celebrations, and it's most importantly going into the community. And this is where it's very passionate for me, is because, you know, me going in front of a group of gay men and telling them, oh, by the way, you're getting beaten up, you're getting beaten and murdered on a regular basis, they go, wow, Scott, thanks. You know, it's really not news to them. And so we need to get outside. I call them the choir. And so we need to get outside the choir. And I believe that the memorial is a great tool in two ways. It, one, gets us outside the choir, and two, it unites us. Because when we go into the most important cities, and that is where the actual murder happened, and we display this beautiful memorial that encompasses the rainbow colors, it encompasses the red, white, and blue American flag, it encompasses the stars, it encompasses the photos of the heroes who lived so bravely and openly about who they were and then brutally murdered for that. It does it hopefully in such a beautiful way that people come up and they'll start talking about it. People drive by and say, well, what's that and why is it here? And this is in the communities where the hate is obviously being caught. So hopefully, and then we will reach out to our gay community and say, PFLAG, join us. HRC, join us. Equality Florida, join us. Gay and Lesbian Task Force, join us. You know, all the different nonprofit organizations, because every one of those groups that are a gay-related group are affected by gay murders. So we want to unite and say and hold a candlelight vigil in the cities where the murders happen and show that we're united on this front, that gay murders have to stop. It's un-American, unnecessary, and we're not going to stand and let it continue anymore. How is that?
Well, Scott, that's remarkable, and it's something that needs so desperately needs to be done. Example, we had a guest on recently. This particular guest wasn't politically oriented guest, but the guest was actually from Miami, and innocently said that, you know, this sort of thing just didn't really happen around the Miami area because it was a progressive area. I've heard this same thing from guests who have hailed from other larger cities. They somehow seem that they think they are in
they're
safe.
Everyone thinks it's in everyone else's neighborhood. It only happens in big city. Polk County isn't a big city. Oxnard, California isn't a big city. Greenville, South Carolina isn't a big city. Mind you, Miami is a big city, and there's been murders in every one of those in the last year, within the last 24 months. So to say that, you know, anyone's, you know, not a possible candidate for having a gay murder, I can take you to pretty much every major city as well as many small communities across the United States where murders have occurred. So to say this isn't, if there was any other group of people that were being murdered on a rate of one every week in America, which is currently the status from the time our last gay murder that we've recorded to the time that we were in our fiscal year, that would have been one every 8 to 10 days a gay murder is happening. To me, that's epidemic. It's outrageous, and it needs to be confronted. And that's what we want to do. We want to shine a light, because the people in Oxnard have no idea about the young man, Simeon Williams, Jr., who was murdered here, you know, a week and a half, 2 weeks ago. Nor do we know, many people don't know about, you know, Simon, who was murdered up in the Carolinas, you know, in January. And because we haven't united as a group, we don't keep a record. And I'm asking all media, gay and straight, whenever a gay murder happens anywhere in the United States, that every single gay paper puts a story about it. And I actually had a publisher here in Florida, actually, when I first started the program. I said, it was right after Sean Kennedy was murdered. I said, did you hear about that? Are you going to do a story? And he says, well, that happened up in Greenville, South Carolina. It doesn't affect my readers. I hadn't been that upset with the statement made directly to my face in probably 25 years. I mean, it hit me like a baseball bat. My eyes kind of glazed over, and I almost passed out. I really did. I was like shocked. You're a publisher of a gay publication, and needless to say, I was beside myself. I'm still stunned by that statement, but it'll live in infamy as far as I'm concerned. So, and that's the sad part is they don't feel it. Well, as a reader of any gay publication, I expect you to inform me if there's a murder in Greenville, because I might be going on vacation to visit my mother there, or I might be going to, you know, Miami for vacation, and I want to know if there's a murderer, which there are several murderers that are still out on the loose that have killed gay people, Simeon Williams Jr. being one of them, the murderer of him. So I want to know that if Miami's an unsafe place because of the current mayor inciting violence with the anti-gay rhetoric that he's spewing out, then I need to be informed as a reader of your publication. And if you don't feel that's important, I don't think that I wouldn't be reading your paper, because you're not protecting me as one of your readers.
Well, Scott, I have to say, yes, I do, and I have to say to you that this is a very valuable thing you're doing, because as long as this is secret, it will never change. Example, it is my job to cover LGBT issues, and even though I scan the blogs and I scan the news sources, I had no idea someone named Simon was recently murdered in South Carolina. I had no idea. Now, I do know about Simi, and I purposely didn't cover Simi because I knew you were coming on the show. Maybe you could tell us a little about both those people.
Absolutely. Simon was up in North Carolina. He was 19. He was taking out the trash. He was openly gay. He was moved into a new apartment complex, and he was very flamboyant. He was used to do all the ladies' hair in the community, and needless to say, he was taken out the trash, and he was found dead in front of his apartment a few hours later by, I believe, a friend or a relative. And that's just, and there are no other reasons. So, you know, we can't classify it. Well, before I go on, okay, I'll cover that one, but I'd like to go back to the fact that the laws that we have and how they affect us. The next one is, Simeon Williams Jr., who his mother is actually going to be at our protest we're doing here in Fort Lauderdale tomorrow morning. And she's an amazing woman. She's very loving and very supportive of her gay son. And I just really respect moms that take their kids as they are and not expect them to be who they want them to be. So I applaud Denise King for her love and true understanding and caring for her son. But he was a transgender, or he dressed as a woman, and he was brutally murdered outside a couple blocks down from where he used to live in this past week in Fort Lauderdale here, and the police are investigating it to see if it's a hate crime, but they have no other reasons to think it was, because it didn't appear to be a mugging or anything else. It's where known transgenders would hang out on the street and whatnot. So it's sad that it happened, and it's just, but you know, there's a lot of reasons why, and it's just he was 17 years old, and so we have another teenager murdered for being gay in Fort Lauderdale. You know, I don't think that's going to look good on our tourist development committee meeting.
No, of course not. And you know, so Scott, going back to 2003. In 2003 alone, there was a 26% increase in anti-LGBT violence, according to the National Coalition of Anti-Violence Programs. And if you'll recall, that was the year that the sodomy laws were struck down in Texas, and 2003 was, if I'm not mistaken, the same year that same-sex couples got the right to marry in Massachusetts, or at least it was a large issue. It seems the people think that we're such a powerful subgroup and so well moneyed, yet any right that we get or any victory we have, we are punished. We are punished severely for.
And that's true, and that it's truly unfortunate. And I believe your information is correct. And unfortunately, we have to look at the main source of that. And I believe, unfortunately, it's our government who, with the don't ask, don't tell, is the first one to discriminate with that and treat gay people as second-class citizens by doing that. And that encourages and gives everyone else to do the same as Americans, because if our government doesn't think they're deserving to be in our army, in our navy, in our air force, then as an American, I don't, you know, I can pull the same stance that I don't believe they're deserving to be in our neighborhoods. And to me, that's very sad. And so until that, our government respects all Americans as Americans and gives all Americans the same rights, it will always be okay to, unfortunately, treat gay people less than, and what you determine less than is up to you, be it verbally, physically, mentally, or and ultimately in relying in murder. Or yeah.
I understand.
So that's why it's so important that we unite and like Ellen said, vote the people in that do care and do want to make a change for the betterment of America and accepting all Americans for who they are and not expecting them to be, you know, well, you know, the religious right, you know. Boy, that's another can of worms. We could talk about
we open that can of worms often on this show and on the other shows. So that's the can of worms that we're perfectly welcome. We're perfectly
fishing with all them worms. I'm sorry.
Well said. Haven't heard that one before. Speaking of the religious right, what's up with Dobson and the church in Colorado, and what's happening in your area? Is there something coming up soon?
There is, and yeah, unfortunately, our mayor, there's good news about it. The Sun Sentinel here in Fort Lauderdale, which is our major, you know, general population paper, is asking, I'll just quote it, Fort Lauderdale Mayor Jim Nagel gone in 1 year and counting. And there's a great quote. It says, Nagel, as it is, won't refuse to apologize, simply stating he was angry about the column because he wrote it in October when it was timely. And this is what the reporter said. First to Nagel, your Bible-spewing rants against one particular group and your city were never timely. They were only humiliating and insulting. And so he has invited Focus on the Family president, Jim Daly, down for a prayer breakfast tomorrow. And after all his negative rhetoric about homosexuals and homosexuality, just to go over a few of his hateful quotes, is homosexuality makes God want to vomit. HIV and AIDS is a type of judgment for such a sin as homosexuality. And this was pulled from the World Christian Center, Pompano Beach. Those kind of statements incite the anger and violence in people, and we need to focus on elected officials using taxpayer dollars to spew that rhetoric. And fortunately, his column that was featured every month in the Fort Lauderdale Monthly letter to the constituents has been pulled. And so that was done by a group called Fight Out Loud, Wayman Hudson. So our hats off to Wayman and his efforts and all the help that he had getting that. But now Mayor Nagel no longer has a platform to spew his rhetoric, at least one less platform. So he's holding a prayer breakfast with the group. And so we are hopefully going to do a silent demonstration, and we're going to show, we have pictures, 18 by 24, and we're going to show, as people are going into breakfast, all the murdered heroes, or a good many of them, standing on the side of the road. We're going to be representing them. We're going to be their voice. We're not going to say anything. We're just going to hold up their photos and let everybody know that this is what the hate that they teach is causing in America. And mind you, the person you're killing might have been the doctor that gave birth to your nephew or your or the fireman that saved your house from burning down, but yet that doesn't matter. So it's sad, and so we want to put a face on the hate that he's teaching.
Scott, this brings to mind a question that comes up on this program from time to time, and to say it simply, is it ignorance or is it evil? And what I'm getting at here is the people, the representatives from Focus on the Family, are not uneducated people. They've been educated in colleges and taken courses in the Bible and its history and its interpretations, and they realize all of this stuff about the Levitical laws and its place in history, and the six clobber quotations that we sometimes refer to the Bible, the six statements that they normally beat us over the head with. So I tend to go with evil, because it seems to me that the leaders know that they're lying, and the whole concept of a prayer breakfast to promote hate is repulsive to me. Yet another group of our listeners think that they're not evil, they're just ignorant and need to be educated. How do you come down on this? I just see evil. Others see ignorance.
I feel that that's a great question, and I'm gonna side with you a little bit. I think that knowing how to kill someone or murder someone and acting on it are two different things. But teaching someone else how to do it, you're knowing it and applying that knowledge. Well, knowing it, first of all, you're no longer ignorant, okay? And knowing that what you're teaching causes people to commit murder against this group of people, you are educating them with what you know. And you now know that this can result in murder. So why you would teach it and to say that you do not know that this would occur from this, then that's not ignorance, it's evil. So as far as I'm concerned, it's 100% evil. They are educated. They know that by inciting these hateful rhetoric statements to rile people or encourage people to act violently, be it verbally, by voice, by physically or mentally or any other action that would be in a negative way towards another person who's an American. And that's what people tend to forget. We're all Americans. We all have the same rights, or should. And so if you incite that violence with your, you're not ignorant, you're evil. So
Scott,
I'm on your side.
Well, that's well said. You know, you can almost forgive the followers, because, you know, so many people have never cracked the Bible open, yet they believe everything that's preached from the pulpit. You can almost sympathize a little with the followers, even though you want to question the fact that they are living in ignorance so willingly and so enthusiastically, but it's hard to excuse the leaders. Scott, I want to ask about our international reputation. Often on this show, I will talk about the lashings, fact there was one gay kid in Iran was sentenced to, I think, 700 lashes. Obviously, that's fatal, so they were doing it over a period of time, giving him as many lashes as he could take and putting him back in prison, then taking him out and giving him lashes again until they reached, it was 7,000, if I'm not mistaken, some horrific number. I'm almost positive it was 7,000. But in any case, when we talk about countries like Iran and Iraq and the outrageous, actually, fatwas or declaration of wars to exterminate LGBT folks, it seems that we have no moral authority to stand up and say anything about it. There are often people saying we should ask the UN to step in. But it seems to me, as long as we're playing this game in this country, we have no moral authority to question an even more oppressive government. What do you think about that? Not to mention Jamaica.
Oh, and you hear Jamaica should put sanctions against it and stop sending relief down to anyone who supports those hateful ways. And as far as Iran and Iraq, I thought their prime minister or one of their leaders said that there are no gay people, so I don't know why they're giving lashes to this poor guy, because they have no gay people. And as far as it's horrific, it saddens me, and it breaks my heart that someone would be treated this way. But in fairness to America, we are not quite at that level. So as we, as I would always say, Jack, because he was so far, you know, it's the explanation about he's from the future, and he was so far ahead that I would always feel like I'm tailing behind. So even though we're behind on so many things, I still believe there are plateaus, and it is further ahead of us by allowing gays in the military and being abroad, as well as Spain allowing gay folks to be married. I do believe there are levels, and I believe we're at a level that we could either go either way right now. And I hope with our new administration, which will be soon, we will continue to step up to the higher level, the high road, the righteous road, the human road, and keep moving in that direction. But to allow the suppression and the violence that is occurring to those other folks in other countries is unheard of. So we should definitely not point a finger on the level that we are better than them, but we're moving in a more positive direction at this point. And hopefully with the new administration, this will change soon for us. And we do have a little more rights than they do in that other, the Iraq and Iran. So as we're not there, thank God, or Buddha, or whoever you wish to worship, but we are definitely not where Canada is. So we're moving in the right direction, and I believe most Americans, honestly, I don't think really feel it. I think it's the right-wing Christians and other religious groups, as well as our governments, which is controlled by them, it seems, that are causing this turmoil and this grief and this pain that our country is going through right now. So hopefully this will soon change, and as long as we stay strong and united on this, it's like any other human battle that was fought in America, be it women's rights or be it, you know, the rights of our African-American community to have their freedoms. Our freedom will come, and it won't be soon enough, of course, but we're in the right direction, but not where we need to be.
Scott, how is it
going? I probably said that
going?
A couple times. I'm sorry.
Oh no, we have 2 hours, and we just, well, that's what we do here. We just wander around and talk, and conversations go anywhere.
Good. You're great at it. You ask all the right questions. This is awesome.
Well, that's very kind of you, Scott. I'm wondering about the how can I put it? How much on the radar screen Gay American Heroes Foundation is. I realize in looking through your site you have some very high-level supporters. And in general, though, what is the plan to raise consciousness among, for instance, are you registering on the radar in the LGBT blogs? Are you being talked about?
We are, for our first year, I am very, very pleased with the direction and the amount of recognition we have received with a lot of hard work from a lot of wonderful people. But, of course, we're not where we want to be. But definitely on the radar screen, when I bring up it here locally, we have had events in Washington, D.C. with Representative Barney Frank. We have had events in New York City where Barney Frank hosted the one in D.C. Alan Cummings hosted our event at Therapy in New York City. It was an amazing event. We had an event in L.A. that was hosted at East West Lounge with Daniela C. off the L Word. So we have some amazing people on board that have been great and supportive and opening a lot of doors and getting our name out there and making our project real and positive and uplifting, because as much as this is a tough subject, the fact that someone was brutally murdered, we want to celebrate their lives. We want to share their stories about how Ryan was a wonderful person, Ryan Key Skipper, and how he didn't really like to play soccer, but he did anyway because his dad wanted him to, and so many amazing parts. We want you to get to know these people that were taken from us at such a young age or at any age, and that we don't have an opportunity. And I always tell people, you may never, ever get the opportunity to meet Ryan Skipper, but you'll definitely have the opportunity to get to know Ryan. And his mother is just an amazing person, and she just started crying when I said that. And that's true of all our heroes. And that's why it's important that you go to the website and pick a hero. And we have an Adopt a Hero program, and I'm going to do a little shameless plug, but please adopt a hero. Go to our website, Adopt a Hero, and make him your hero. And each year, unfortunately, we're adding to the memorial. Like I said, we have eight new heroes this year that we believe. And, we hope that you'll get the opportunity to know them. And then when we bring the memorial into a city near you, come out and support us. Share your stories. We want to document the stories of just gay bashings. We want to document stories of any anti-gay movements or violence against LGBT community. And start keeping a record that this is our history, this is the battle we're fighting, and we will win it. So we have to be united. And so we need to have all your listeners and all the media and everyone, humanity, united on killing gay people. It simply has got to stop. It's not okay. Just stop killing gay folks.
Well, Scott, when a group is in pain, they typically react stronger than a group that is not suffering. Obviously, the AIDS quilt became a... I don't think there's anyone in the country, straight or gay, that doesn't know about the AIDS quilt. It became huge, yet it started on a very small level, and that was born of the pain of the of people dying of AIDS, obviously. And when an LGBT person is murdered, there's, of course, the pain of their circle of friends, but the brunt of it, I think, probably rests with their mother and father. Are across the board, are the mothers and fathers rallying behind this? Are you hearing any dissent that they don't want their kids' names used in this? What is it like talking with the parents?
That's an excellent question. And fortunately, for just the short time that I'm dealing with the fact of these brutal murders and facing the families and the friends of those folks, we are fortunate in that most that I'm aware of, that everyone that we've reached out to has been supportive in some level, and most have been very proactive, not just supportive. So fortunately, and I know there'll be a time when we come across a family member that their family doesn't want to recognize that they were gay or doesn't want to have anything to do with them, but that doesn't mean that person still doesn't have friends or a lover or someone in life that does support them for them being them and themselves. And so, fortunately, I haven't run across that. I kind of will be saddened when I do, and hopefully I won't. In a positive note, I won't. But it's something that we will have to face. But regardless of what they, as far as the family, if this person qualifies, we may not reach out to the family if they don't want us to or want to be a part of the memorial. But we, as the gay community, will still honor this person, and so they still will be added, hopefully, and because it is a public record, and the fact that they were brutally murdered is something that is not ownership of the family organization. And of course, I'm speaking, you know, without a lawyer by me, so I'm basing it that there will be no legal aspects. But as long as there isn't, then we will definitely want to remember them. So hopefully we won't come across them.
Scott, I should take a moment to point out to the listeners the website address. Again, if you're not in the chat room, that's gayamericanheroes.com. You'll find a wealth of information there. Also, I often don't give out the phone number as often as I should. It's 877. You can call toll-free if you'd like to talk to myself and to Scott. The toll-free line is 877, the number 4, head-on. Or that translates into 877-443-2366. That's toll-free. If you have unlimited long distance, you can use that and save the studio a nickel or a buck. That's area code 304-658-3333. That's 304-658-3333, and that rings in West Virginia. If you'd rather participate via email, you can reach me at peter@headonradionetwork.com. Scott, tell us about the actual memorial. I understand initially you're thinking of moving it to mobile, I think is the word you used. Colleges, universities, school campuses. And is that how, when you adopt someone, when you go to the website, you'll see how to adopt one of these victims. How is that working now? Is it primarily toward the mobile to begin with? Because that's really very reminiscent of the AIDS quilt.
Absolutely, Peter, and it is. And we want everyone to share in it because it's not like it affects just one state. It's in every state that these murders are happening, and it is across the nation. And to put one memorial honoring all those people, I don't think it's fair to not share it with the people that are directly affected unless this travels. And so I think we're going to bring more awareness, educate more folks, and shine a light on the fact that there are so many and that we want to remember all of them, that if it travels, that we'll have a much better chance of doing that. And so having it travel, and then, of course, in years from now, we'd love to have a permanent example of permanent home in Washington, D.C., where all the other heroes who have fought for our country and its rights have memorials. And I believe that the people that are fighting for their rights by living openly gay lives deserves to be remembered, and they are in a fight, and they gave their life for that fight. So they're definitely heroes in my book. So it will travel. It's going to be it currently spans, or when it's built, we only have a scale model right now that we're currently taking around. And it will span approximately 75 feet in length. It'll be about 7 feet tall. It's a zigzag form, and it's multicolored panels, which you'll be able to see on the website. And it says heroes when you first see it. So when you first approach it as heroes, when you walk past it along the memorial itself, you then see some of the faces of the heroes that murdered in a huge 8x10, panel. And then when you turn the corner, it's red, white, blue panel, red, white, blue panel, with hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of stars. And on the individual stars on these red, white, and blue panels are the names, the age, the occupation. We want to build a relationship with you and our heroes. We want you to understand this was a 25-year-old. You can relate to that. Or this was a 67-year-old. Or this was a fireman, and my dad's a fireman. Or this was a... So it will encompass all of their names in the states where they were murdered, so people can identify where the hate's being taught or where this poor person's, this tragic hero's life was taken. And then when you walk to the final end, when you look back, you'll see all the faces that correspond with the names of the panels. It's kind of hard to explain, but when you see the memorial itself, a little itty bitty one, but it kind of gives you the idea. So hopefully they'll just be able to come out and see the full scale one once we raise enough money to get this built and start getting it traveled. By the way, we have been invited to many universities and pride celebrations, including Yale, St. Pete Pride, Winter Party, White Party, FIU. I mean, it's really amazing all the people that want to participate in this and be a part of it. So, it's awesome.
Well, Scott, a photograph is a very powerful thing. Often, we both know that when something like this happens to an LGBT person, when someone is murdered, it rarely makes it past a couple of news days, and it rarely makes it out of the local area news. So unless there's a blogger that's operating in that area, often people do not know. And when these articles are published, there is rarely, I remember in Ryan's case, there were some photographs in the newspaper, but even in Simi's case, but by and large, there are no photographs. This is a powerful statement of individual photographs of what appears to me to be people next door, people that you would see at the public library, people that you would glance. Yes, and they're smiling. Some are wearing their military uniforms. Others are obviously in classrooms. Others are obviously taken at Olin Mills. But they're all smiling people who register as human beings, which is something that
Correct.
Does not happen when this is presented as it almost comes down to the statistical thing. People are always can turn away from a statistic. It's meaningless. But
Correct.
When you begin looking at real faces and real lives
changed, absolutely.
Yes, and it's well, you know, it takes away so much. It's you know, we talk about someone murdered, but we never think of what that means. It means no more sunrises, no more sunsets, no walking hand in hand with your lover, no more smiles and laughs with your families, no more petting the doggy. Life ends. And it is such a vicious thing to do simply because people are concerned about sexual orientation. It seems to me, Scott, that if the only thing LGBT people did was drink RC and eat moon pies in bed, it would still be no one's business.
Correct. Absolutely. Which, by the way, is a good time, just so you know.
Oh, my stars. Oh, okay. That was a good one. Okay, well, I'll remember that, Scott.
Well, you brought it up. I love my new guys in RC Cola. Are you kidding? You know?
Well, I did bring it up. I did bring it up. I didn't expect you would have such a quick response, though. You blew me away. That's perfect. Well done. Well done. We need
awesome.
To give you.
Well, as much as this is a serious subject, we've got to take it into consideration that these people are jokesters. They were kidders. They loved humor. They were alive. They know a good time. And we don't want to remember. The murderers who took them from us want us to mourn their loss, and we did, and the mothers have, and we've grown. But now it's time to celebrate their lives. It's time to bring them back from the grave and let people get to know them on another level and let their hear their wonderful stories and see their smiles and see their spirit and let them know if they are watching from above that we didn't forget about them and they did not die this horrific death, were not murdered in this horrific way for and been forgotten. So it's a celebration of life, and we're celebrating their lives. We're not mourning their murders. And we want the prisoners the people that did this wanted us, they would have won twice if we'd forgotten them. And we're not going to forget them. And I've got the promise from a lot of great people that we're not going to forget these folks. And your listeners are going to hopefully help in making sure that doesn't happen. So, and you already have. And it's people like you who make it possible for us to remember these wonderful people and get to know them. And so I thank you, Peter. You're amazing, and thank you for having me on. I think this is awesome.
Well, Scott, you are more than welcome being here. In fact, it's something that best done with two people, because these topics can be so painful to get through when just one person is doing it. And I realize we're jumping back and forth just a little bit, but regarding the silent protest at the mayor's prayer breakfast, is, you know, the mayor was scolded soundly by the Board of Tourism. They wanted him removed because of the tourist dollar. He was laughed at by so many people. What do you make of Focus on the Family coming down for a prayer breakfast? Is this a fundraiser? Is this some sort of a save face emergency? What is this? What is the true scoop on that?
To me, it's a slap in the face of Fort Lauderdale. It's a slap in the face to all the people who support our diverse city. It's a slap in the face to all the council people that they work in. That regardless of what you say and do, he's going to use his political power to bring in someone that. In an organization that teaches so much hate and probably indirectly has caused so many lives to be wrecked, ruined, or changed in a negative way, that to support that, it's sad, it's disgusting, and his association with this type of people, you know, it's kind of like it always comes out in the laundry, and people are seeing it for what it is, and he's no longer going to have a platform. And just like the Sun Sentinel said, Noggle gone in 1 year and counting. So it's just a matter of time. And just like all evil, good will always prevail over evil. And so all those people that are being misled by this organization, and to me, they are the true wolves in sheep clothing, because the gods that I know, and I use the term gods, because as far as I'm concerned, we all have the Spirit of God in us, and we all have the choice to do what's right and what's wrong, because that's, you know, that's what they're taught. And so in doing so, I believe that, you know, you get what you reap what you sow. And so he's going to reap what he sowed, and that's fine. And he'll see, as he says, the light. And so hopefully he won't be blinded too bad. But yeah, I'm just saddened that our city would allow this. And so we're going to protest. We're going to stand strong. We're going to be united and letting everyone know that this is the type of person he is that really don't know. And the people that are going to support him, regardless of his hateful rhetoric, aren't, you know, how do you reach them? And so we're going to try every way we can to reach them and let them know that as a community, we think it's unacceptable.
Scott, I'm wondering about the nodule's background. There was when he first became so prominent regarding the robo-toilets and all of the outrageous statements he was making, we had an indication here that, in fact, he was put in office. He was funded by what we call on this radio network anyway, the Coral Snake Ministries, which is actually, in your neck of the woods, the Coral Ridge Ministries, which is one of the mega churches down your way. Yes. Kennedy, and we had some information here that was telling us that Nodule and some of the others were simply well placed plants by that group. Had you heard that, or do you have any additional information on that?
I unfortunately do not. If I would have known, that would have been a question you would have brought up. I would have definitely done some research and tried to help with that, and I can probably get that information to you over a short amount of time to research it. I do know that Focus on the Family is a group that's sponsoring the anti-marriage amendment that we are saying no to here in the state of Florida, which is going to be a very tough fight. And we really need any Florida listeners to be proactive, because it's a bipartisan amendment that they're trying to do, and it's on the ballot, and we've got to vote no, because it actually takes away rights from every community, gay, straight, it doesn't matter your sexuality. If you're in a relationship and you're not married and your significant other is in the hospital and the blood relatives choose for you not to see that person or want you nothing to do with them, then they will have that right. And so it really is, it cuts across the board as far as allowing, the family to have rights over the person you truly love and you spend your life with, and that's sad on any level. So family, Focus on the Family is one of the sponsors of that, and they're once again trying to, you know, encourage the discrimination, the unacceptance of true love, which is to accept people for who they are, not what you want them are. So you talk about love a lot, but they don't show much of it.
Well, Scott, this is interesting to me, and in fact, it's the first time that I have heard Focus on the Family, I don't doubt it for one minute, that I've heard Focus on the Family brought into it. Now, obviously, we know that the Republican Party of Florida funded the first $150,000 of getting this started, and then there's the group, what is it, Florida for Marriage, has the number 4 in it, the group that's pushing it. I can't quite remember their call letters. And of course, the Baptist, the Southern Baptist Church, is this the fact that the Focus on the Family is involved, is that being kept on the down low, so to speak? I just hadn't heard that before.
Yeah, and it's, well, they're always doing some funding here and there, and don't quote me on it, but there's an issue that they're also funding in, I want to say, Oklahoma. Now, that isn't my expertise. I'm not a big fan of them, so I don't tend to read a lot of what they're doing, because I'm more concerned of the folks who have been hurt by what they're doing. Eventually, when we become, you know, more organized and strong enough, we will then go after the people who are teaching the hate. Right now, we're just trying to gather information on who we've lost. So hopefully next time we have a conversation, I'll be more advised on on all the, you know, the more details on what's actually they're doing. But from what I'm to understand, yes, they are involved in that. So I don't know if they're keeping it out on the low or how much their involvement is. But, you know, when you're supporting Noggle, or they're Noggle supporting you, you know you're up to no good.
Well, couldn't agree with you more. Scott, would you tell us also about the timeline? What is the plan? Is there do you have specific goals about the number of organizations, the number of people, and what are you doing to raise consciousness besides appearing on shows like this? Or is there an advertising campaign? Are there Google ads? How are you getting this out?
We haven't really invested much because we don't have much to invest in as far as actually purchasing advertising. We're very fortunate that a lot of the different media outlets from time to time give us in-kind contribution, like a full-page ad for the Winter Party Festival or a full-page ad in like 411 or Express or you know, the Washington Blade in regards to events that we're having in their community. So we're very lucky and grateful for the media sponsorships that we get that way. So that's pretty much it. And other stories that people do about us once they hear about our project, and they really get it, and they see how important it is and what a great tool it will be to reach past the choir. And I can't bring that to the light or to the forefront, that we're reaching past the choir. We're actually getting into middle America and everyday America and showing them these are the people that we've lost, and due to hate and violence and murder, and you know, understand that it's senseless and it doesn't need to be this way. And so, and until those, because I don't think everyday average Americans really believe that murdering someone for their sexuality is an okay behavior. And so those who are teaching it, once we shine a light on those folks and really point out, like Focus on the Family has done for years, and like this Coral Ridge Snakes, or what you reference them as, has done for years, and the Faldwells and all the other, but that's how they justify their existence. That's how they make their money. And so they need, and right now, gays are still the one group of people that we can all justify discriminating against it, because, of course, back to our government, the don't ask, don't tell, not allowing gay people to be married, and we're not allowed, gay people are not allowed to adopt in the state of Florida. So as long as our government, our officials and our government and our laws say that it's okay, it gives them a platform, and they're losing that platform, and that's why they're so venomous towards whatever we do to try to prevent them from losing the platform, because once the government says it's not okay, they will no longer be able to justify doing it.
Well, Scott, I must tell you, you have been a remarkable guest, and you certainly hold your own in a conversation. You completely surprised me with the quick response to the RC and Moon Pies. Okay, you're quite a wit, and I hope that you will regard Strictly Confidential and even the Head On Radio Network as an ally in what you're doing. And I hope that you will keep us posted. And I want to let you know also that you do not need a formal invitation to be on the show. All you have to do is pick up the phone and call. And if it's an evening that there is no guest schedule, we often do what we call just us shows. And if there's no guest schedule, we'll bring you on right away to give out updates or anything that you would like to cover with us. And Scott, in closing, I have wandered around the universe and asked you so many things, but I really haven't given you the opportunity to just say what you like. I may very well have just completely missed an area that you'd like to cover.
Well, first of all, thank you so much. And I'm a big fan of horoscopes. I think they're great. I think they're fun. A little weight to them, because I think there's a lot of similarities. And that would be the only thing that I want to say. I love people, and I love knowing people's horoscopes. And so other than that, I think just having me on the show and giving me a platform to reach all your listeners and sharing your time, I think we covered it all over. I think we bounced around, and I think we're pretty thorough. I just hope that, you know, that your listeners get a chance to go to the website, and I thank you for being an ally. I am honored and I'm grateful for your time that you spend. One day I'm going to come out with a book. I don't know when, but and I will definitely talk about how much fun I had on your show with the Moon Pies and RC Cola.
Well, great stuff.
Not everyone knows, but being a Southern boy, I grew up with those, and so. last but not least, I want all my people that have helped and that have contributed, from the media to the honorary board, the advisory board, all those folks who have believed in this project and have supported it. I want to thank them, and they make it possible for me to come out and share the stories of Ryan P. Skipper and Sean Kennedy. And I would like to leave on a good note, and I'm going to briefly tell you about Sean Kennedy. Sean Kennedy was 19 years old. He was attacked coming out of a straight bar in Greenville, South Carolina, I believe it was. And he was punched so hard in the face that it broke his face. And he hit the ground so hard it snapped his head from his stem cell from his neck. And he was pronounced brain dead. But the wonderful thing about that is his mother was so kind and so forgiving and so loving, Elke Kennedy and his dad. They donated his organs to five other individual human beings. And I would like to interview those human beings. And from what I'm to understand, every one of them was straight. Now, if you're on your deathbed and the only thing that could save you was the organ from a gay man, would it matter then?
Well said.
As you justify hating someone, ask yourself, if your mother's life was on the line and the only person that could save them was a gay man or a gay woman or a transgender or a questioning, would you ask them to save them? So stop the hate, spread the love, and you keep doing what you're doing, because I had a great time, and I'm going to tell all my friends to call you and come on your show, too.
Well, that's very, very kind of you, Scott. And again, Scott, I'm proud to have you as someone who is working for the LGBT community. You are certainly someone to reckon with, and there's obviously a fire in your heart, and it is very much appreciated, sir. And thank you for participating in the show. My best to
you. Well, good night.
Oh, you mentioned horoscopes. I'm Aries. What are you?
I am a Cancer. I'm a big mommy, and Aries are big daddies, believe it or not. So we actually make a great couple. One of my best friends, Cyril, is an Aries, and he's very protective. They're stubborn. So we need you on the forefront, and the fact that you have head on. I don't know who started that, but that's what an Aries does. It goes head on, and I'm glad to have you as a friend. I couldn't think of a better ally. So, and that's awesome. And it's just a fun way to spend the day talking about horoscopes and getting to know people. It's a great icebreaker. It's very 70s, but I'm okay with that.
Yes, yes, it's 70s, but then again, RC and Moon Pie is 50s,
but
and
RC,
so I think we're
the same.
Yeah. Okay, Scott, thank you for being on, and God bless, and Buddha bless, and all bless.
Everybody.
You have a great evening.
And we'll talk to you soon.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Well, thank you, and thank you, Bob, and good night, everyone.
Thank you. Folks, that was Scott Hall, a remarkable young man, and his site is gayamericanheroes.com. He is a man who had had enough of it, who had seen enough of it and was brave enough and well, what is the word? You have to be awfully industrious to pull together this many people. How do you go from just the idea of wouldn't it be great to have a Gay American Heroes Foundation? You think of the name, you think of what you're going to do, you're going to move this from campus to campus, the display of the pictures, how you're going to raise funds, how you're going to do this. To go from this is a good idea, I have had it, with listening and taking this from the world in general, to move from that to where Scott has moved today is remarkable. And he has done it in less than a year. So you really have to give Scott credit for being so such a creative person, and to be able to hold people's attention the way he does. It takes a lot to present this sort of thing to other people that you need to pull together an organization like this, to convince them it is worth their time. Everyone's time is so crunched these days. So we really have to admire a fellow like Scott Hall. And again, that is at gayamericanheroes.com. You can read more about Scott Hall. You can read more about the organization, its background, the people who are involved. You can read more about adopting one of the people who have been viciously murdered in this country. You can find out about the visions, the vision, the future plans, what the website features will be. They're building that up. You can find out about a lot of things at gayamericanheroes.com. And we'll move from that. We probably all need a bit of a break, and we have DJ Rick Ashman to do that for us. Rick has been on this show and indeed was a wonderful guest. He hails from Seattle, and amazing fellow. And he has sent us. He has agreed to participate in the Gay Bar Across the Street series. We're delighted to have him do that. By the way, you can find out more about Rick Ashman, who is also known as DJ RXMX. You can find out more about him at djrxmx.multiply.com. That's djrxmx.multiply.com. And so he is actually playing for this evening, and he's playing at the gay bar across the street, sometimes called God's Little Gay Bar, and sometimes called the Paradise Dance Hall. Roll it, Bob.
Across the alley was the Paradise Dance Hall. Evenings in spring, they'd open all the doors and windows, and the music would come outside. Sometimes they'd turn out all the lights except for a large glass sphere that hung from the ceiling. It would turn slowly about and filter the dusk with delicate rainbow colors.
Wow. Rick Ashman, wow. That was an incredible set of music. I must tell you, you got many compliments in the chat room. That was a mix by our friend Rick Ashman, and that was Macho, Tantra, Magnifique, and Kano during that particular mix. And I would like to tell you that he was on this show in February. He was on February the 28th. If you'd like to listen to that audio archive, if you missed the interview with Rick, it was a great interview, by the way. Lots of wonderful music and a great guy to talk to. Just go to the February calendar at strictlyconfidentialradio.com. You'll see the February calendar. Click on it and go to the 28th. Click on the audio archive, and you can hear every single word. Rick's website is djrxmx.multiply.com. And, in fact, some of the people are even saying that's the favorite mix so far. Well done, my friend. Thank you for sending that in. Let's see. We have a... I want to follow up just very briefly with this. If you listen to the beginning of the show, you heard myself and Scott Hall talking about all things LGBT. And one of the issues that came up was Jamaica. And the reason we brought that up is because, if you recall, in 2006, Time magazine wrote an article about the island. The headline was, "The Most Homophobic Place on Earth." The New York Times has shown just recently, within the last couple of weeks, that the anti-gay climate there has only gotten worse. The island is in a downward spiral of, you could just about call it, pure outright psychosis. LGBT people are being murdered daily. The government is completely unconcerned. The Jamaican singers, reggae singers, the lyrics are always, well, not always, but almost always consistently anti-gay. The lyrics go along the lines of ripping out their hearts and cutting off their heads, and the words faggots and also batty boy is the phrase down there. They call you a batty boy just before they knock your brains out with a baseball bat. And so the reason I'm bringing this up, you know, they roam around in thugs, by the way. The police sit back and laugh while these thugs beat people to death. In any case, the reason I bring this up is because the cruise ship industry out of Texas, I believe there's one out of the Gulf Coast somewhere, and also out of Fort Lauderdale, Miami area, the cruise ship industry is supporting Jamaica by continuing to run cruises through there. If you are about to take a cruise, I need to tell you that it is one of the most homophobic hell holes in the entire planet, yet tourists regularly line up to board massive luxury liners that are on their way to Jamaica. The island earns $2.1 billion with a B in tourism, and it's time we boycotted it. I think one of the articles calls for a series of billboards stating why and that Jamaica should be boycotted in Florida on I-95 as it heads south to the Miami area. To take those cruises. Clearly we would do that if it were any other group being annihilated, and clearly we need to do that with Jamaica. Lord help us. The world is a cesspool, is it not? In any case, I want to let you know that myself and Mr. Bob Kincaid and Mr. John Fox from Australia will be joining me in just minutes for a live horn section. The horn section is a round table, or in this case a triangle table, of hosts from the Head On Radio Network, and it's a freestyle. We have absolutely no idea what we're going to talk about. We have no particular agenda, but is it a time for the host to get together and bounce topics back and forth? We always have a great deal of fun. Immediately following the horn section, you'll hear John Fox's live show. Live from Australia. It's amazing how the internet pulls all this off. We couldn't do it were it not for folks like John Fox, who's our engineer, and the dedication of Bob Kincaid and so many others. But John Fox will be joining us at midnight, these are Eastern times, of course, for his program, All Foxed Up. So I appreciate you being here. I had a great time. Thank you, Scott Hall. Thank you, Rick Ashman. And here's Cynthia Manley reminding you, too.
Musician. The best music happens when the sheet music gets put aside and the gang just sits down and jams. Same thing here on The Horn, America's best liberal talk hosts free-forming together for an hour a night. Welcome to The Horn Section.